Hi, we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whenever you guess the kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. The NFL's two-week-long post-Super Bowl lull is almost over, and the news cycle is about to be cranked up to 11 yet again, with the combine just days away. In addition to teams interviewing and evaluating countless 2024 draft prospects, the combine also marks the unofficial start of NFL free agency. League personnel will meet up in hotels, bars, and restaurants across Indianapolis, where the parameters for contracts and trades are often set up. And very few teams, if any, have as golden an opportunity as the Houston Texans do this spring. Last season, the Texans made a grand slam hire at head coach with DeMeco Ryans and found their franchise quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who just after his rookie season is already in the conversation as one of the NFL's five best field generals. With the 2024 league year right around the corner, the Texans are projected to have a boatload of salary cap space and are thus in position to strike gold. But what exactly should the Texans do in free agency and the draft in order for them to take that next big step forward? Joining us to help answer that question is Vinod Tonanji. Vinod is the co-host of the Texans 22 podcast, which is available on YouTube. It is an absolute pleasure to have you with us, VT. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing real great. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us as well, VT. And let's get down to business. The first big move of the Texans offseason occurred the week before the Super Bowl, as they were able to retain both offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, who was a hot head coaching candidate, and quarterbacks coach Gerard Johnson, who was a hot offensive coordinator candidate, on revised contracts. And this is obviously a huge deal because it allows the Texans to keep the offensive scheme intact in 2024 and perhaps beyond. Does this move suggest to you that Gerard Johnson will replace Bobby Slowick at offensive coordinator should Bobby Slowick get a head coaching job in 2025?
I think that has been the plan. Gerard Johnson has a very long-term relationship with C.J. Stroud. He's actually known C.J. Stroud since he was 17. So basically, they have a private kind of QB school, and C.J. Stroud was one of the late entrants to that, and Gerard Johnson was his coach. So he actually known C.J. Stroud before even Ohio State. So that bond actually helped them when C.J. Stroud went to the NFL. In addition to that, Gerard Johnson has also completed programs for the acceleration program to become a head coach. And obviously, before you become a head coach, you have to go through the stages of going from QB coach to an OC. So I think the trajectory is that Gerard Johnson, eventually, one day, he too will be a head coach. But before he does that, he'll be the OC for the Texans when, obviously, our OC leaves. So Bobby Slowick, I'm expecting that Bobby Slowick in 2025 will likely become a head coach somewhere. I think it's unlikely that he skips two seasons of not taking a head coach job, because after two seasons, it kind of loses your goal. Your goal kind of just fades away. So I think he's going to have to take a head coach in 2025 position there, and then Gerard Johnson will step in.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And a fascinating tidbit about Gerard Johnson's relationship with C.J. Stroud dating back to when Stroud was in high school. I personally did not know that, so thank you very much for sharing that with us, VT. And what makes this Texans roster so strong is that they have foundational pieces at the five most important positions in football. Obviously, quarterback with C.J. Stroud, offensive tackle with Laremy Tunsil, edge with Will Anderson Jr., the 2023 NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, corner with Derek Stingley Jr., and wide receiver with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And the vast majority of those pieces are still on their rookie contracts. Which positions do they need to address the most in both free agency and the draft in order to take another massive step forward this season?
So I think D-tackle is a big need. I know that we have Shannon Rakins. He had a pretty good year. He had six sacks, but I think a lot of people will look at that stat number and they need to realize that three of those sacks were actually against Cincinnati, who he was going against a guard that wasn't very good. And for whatever reason, they decided not to double team him. So he was able to eat. So that's why he has six sacks. He also did not perform well against a run until about week six or week seven. Now, he did perform better in the later part of that half, but also he was getting paid $10 million. And I don't think they can repeat that. We have to likely will re-sign Jonathan Gennard to a contract that's probably worth anywhere between $16 million, $18 million or higher. I don't think you can play Sheldon Rankin's $10 million. I think you draft a defensive tackle, and you get one that is probably a little larger in the 310 to 320 range, someone that's a run stopper, someone that can actually facilitate our edges. We have very athletic edges. Will Anderson is one of the most athletic edges in the NFL. So if you're able to put a defensive tackle that can actually gain double teams, because what's happening is Will Anderson and Jonathan Gannard, one of my co-hosts, Leo, talks about this all the time, that they are actually one of the most double-team duos in the NFL. So if you have a defensive tackle or two defensive tackles that can actually take the double teams from away, then the edges can eat and get after the quarterback. And that's been a big problem. People ask, why hasn't Will Anderson and Jonathan Gannard get more sacks? That's one of the reasons.
You bring up an excellent point about the Texans need to upgrade that defensive tackle position, and that takes us to our next question. In his first three seasons as GM, Nick Caserio has approached free agency by avoiding Tiffany signings as much as possible and primarily shopping at the Dollar Tree, if you know what I mean. However, with a star quarterback on a rookie deal in C.J. Stroud and north of $50 million in effective cap space, it may be wise for the Texans to reel in a big fish off the free agent market. And one such player expected to hit the open market is Kansas City Chiefs All-Pro defensive tackle Chris Jones. If Chris Jones and his agent are taking other teams' phone calls on March 11th, how aggressively do you think the Texans will be eyeballing Chris Jones?
I think we're going to make a bid. The question is, how much is he going to want? Because there's speculations that he'll go anywhere from 22 to 30 million. I mean, the amount is just, it's obviously estimates. And so it really depends on what is he going to want, and also the length of his contract. Nick Caserio likes to keep it shorter contracts, 2 years, you know, around 3 years. If he's looking for a 3 or 4 year contract, and that starts eating into the point where we have to pay Nico Collins and other players that are on rookie deals. So it's going to come down to money. I think Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are salivating over the thought of bringing Chris Jones to this organization. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the money. How much is he going to be able to get from somewhere else? How much is he going to be able to get from the Texans?
Oh, absolutely. It always comes down to the money indeed. And if the Texans are to reel in a big fish in free agency, as you alluded to today on X, it may be a certain teammate of Chris Jones instead.
Correct. So I actually propose that the one flashy signing that we may have is Snead. So a lot of people are talking about whether it could be Mike Jones, Saquon Barkley, giving the offense a little more oomph. But I actually think it's going to be on the defensive side. And the reason why I think it could be Snead is because if you look at this draft, there are about four incredible cornerbacks in this draft. But that's it, four. And we draft at the 23rd position. It will most likely be that we don't have a chance of getting any of those four. Now, we can't necessarily do what we did last draft. We're a good team, and obviously this is even our pick. It's the Cleveland pick. So even if it was our pick, it would actually have been worse at the 23rd. But we're a good team. So at this point, trying to trade up significantly is just very, very difficult. So, you know, we were able to get, you know, C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson because of that huge trade-up last year. That's not something that we really can do again. So I don't think we can get one of the top premier corners in the draft. So you can land Snead. You get someone that is worthy of playing man coverage with Stingley out in the secondary, and that D'Amico has a lot of ability to basically stop quarterbacks from throwing all over us. One of the biggest issues that we had in our defense was allowing quarterbacks to eat. Quarterbacks that weren't even that great, like Zach Wilson, you know, and he had a career day. We gave Trevor Lawrence either a career day or a second career day. We gave multiple quarterbacks that weren't even performing well because of the secondary. Now, did we make big plays? Yes, Steven Nelson made big plays. He had 5 interceptions, right? You had Jimmy Ward that had the interception with the Broncos game. That was a game-winning interception. So we had big plays, but we didn't play good, solid football. We put ourselves in bad situations.
Absolutely. And L'Jarius Sneed, keep in mind, the Kansas City Chiefs have another young stud corner in Trent McDuffie, and that tandem between he and McDuffie were arguably the engine behind this historic Chiefs defense that helped win them their third Super Bowl in 5 seasons. And just imagine how hard it's going to be for opposing offenses to pass out the Texans if you have Derek Stingley covering one end of the field and L'Jarius Sneed covering the other.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible, honestly. It's going to be incredibly difficult. So, you'd have to check down all the time. And then now we just swarm, and so we don't let quarterbacks actually do anything else besides check down every 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, that's D'Amico Ryan's catchphrase, swarm, swarm, swarm. And having two lockdown corners will definitely help the Texans do much more of that. And we mentioned all the Texans star players currently on rookie deals, but one of those players entering the final year of his rookie deal is wide receiver Nico Collins, as you mentioned. Do you think locking him up to a long-term extension before week one is going to be a very high priority for the Texans?
I don't think that it's not because he's not worthy of a contract. We have time, right? We've got another year, really. So, we don't have to sign him right away. I think you wait and see what he does. Now, really, the question why people want to lock him up is because they're afraid that if he has a 1,500-yard season or something, that he's going to be worth more. But frankly, I'm okay with that. Let him make his money. Right now, I think that we have about $60 million in cap right now. Now, you may think, holy crap, $60 million in cap, that's a lot of money. But we only have, actually, right now, 44 players under contract. That is the third fewest in the league. That means we have a lot of re-signing to do. We don't have as much money as people think. We have to be smart about it. I would rather push that contract another year later on as opposed to doing it right now.
Yeah, plus you have the franchise tag to use on him next season if you can't get something done this year. So
Correct.
that's probably another thing for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to consider there. And ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported early this week that there is buzz across the entire NFL that the Texans may try to upgrade the running back position to help take the offense to the next level. And the crop of running backs in the 2024 NFL draft is considered underwhelming. Thus, the Texans may look to free agency to make such an investment in their running game. Which one of prospective free agent running backs, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry, would make the most sense for the Texans and why?
So there are two schools of thought. There's a school of thought that if you get Saquon Barkley, he's going to be a beast in the receiving game as well. The problem with Saquon Barkley is he doesn't necessarily run between the tackles very well, which is what Derrick Henry does. And so my personal opinion, although I know this is not necessarily the popular opinion among Texans Twitter, but my opinion is Derrick Henry would be the better back. One is I believe he's going to be cheaper. Number two, he's a beast. And number three, we know that he's played over 90% of available games, whereas Saquon Barkley's actually missed 26% of available games. So from a health concern, from a money concern, I think Derrick Henry would actually be the better back. I understand that Saquon Barkley is a beast in the receiving game, but Derrick Henry's no slouch either. He has been really a big piece of the receiving game as well. So I think Derrick Henry, honestly, would be the best addition to this squad. Saquon Barkley is going to command $10 million or more. He sat out of the Giants because he wanted to get $12 million. So I think he's going to try to command to get as much money as he could as he can, and good for him. But we're not going to want to spend $12 million or plus on Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely, especially when you consider Saquon Barkley's injury history throughout his entire career. And what do you say to those who tell you, oh, Derrick Henry isn't a good fit for Bobby Slowick's offense?
I think they don't understand how much zone that Derrick Henry can actually run. He's not just a power back. He runs zone as well. The dude has a vision like you can't believe. If you watch football at all, there's no way you can say that he doesn't have vision. So he can play zone and he has vision and he can run between the tackles. How does that not fit Bobby Slowick's offense?
And even if he isn't the most zone-oriented running back there is, D'Amico Ryans wants more physicality with this team compared to last year. And Derrick Henry gives you that in bunches.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Derrick Henry is obviously one of the most physical running backs there is. Listen, any Texans fan knows and is actually probably crying about seeing what Derrick Henry has done to this organization time and time again, coming into NRG and running for 200 yards plus multiple times. We know what type of running back he is. Why wouldn't you want to have him on our team instead of doing that to the opposition? And I just have to pose this question. I know this is kind of outlandish, but just imagine this. Picture a beautiful picture where the Texans possibly go to the Super Bowl and have Derrick Henry as a running back to push that in Amy Stick's face and says, we have your running back and we're going to the Super Bowl. Listen, I know that's a far-fetched idea, but it's something that I think it's just a little cherry on top, because we have a little fight with the owner, Amy. I don't know if you know this, but there's a little beef between the Texans and the Titans, and particularly the ex-owner of the Oilers, which is now the Titans. And so we don't like her at all. So if we can just stick it to her just a little bit and say, we have your running back and we made it to the Super Bowl and won it, that would be so sweet.
Oh, plus he gets you the tough yards to help you close out the games. And the Texans didn't necessarily have that last season. So Derrick Henry would definitely be a welcome addition to the Texans if they're able to agree on a price. But before that free agent market even opens, it is a safe bet that Nick Caserio and the Texans front office will keep close tabs on their in-house free agents, especially defensive end Jonathan Greenard, who you just mentioned, tight end Dalton Schultz, cornerback Steven Nelson, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, who you just mentioned, and linebacker Blake Cashman. Which one of those five do you believe the Texans are most likely to re-sign, and why?
So I really do think it is going to be Jonathan Greenard. Texans cap has said that he can go anywhere from 15.5 to 18.25. I think they're going to try to make it work. And I think that a lot of people don't realize how well against the run he actually performed. So if you look at his sack numbers, he had incredible sack numbers, 12 and a half sacks. But you may not realize that he also had 15 tackles for loss. He actually was one of the best edges against the run. If you go to ESPN and you look at their run win rates, you'll see that he's a top three. Now, you had Will Anderson that also was rated very highly. You have a great duo of Will and Jonathan Greenard. You don't want to get out of that. You don't want them to lose that. So I think they do everything possible to keep Jonathan Greenard. I don't think, and you mentioned others like Steven Nelson, I don't think we sign him back. Dalton Schultz, I think they sign him back. So there's a few others that I have questions about. Cashman, I think they do everything to sign him back as well.
So Jonathan Greenard, Blake Cashman, and Dalton Schultz, we could expect the Texans to do everything they can to keep, but Steven Nelson and Sheldon Rankins unlikely to come back, according to our man VT here. And what would a realistic yet ideal free agent haul for the Texans look like in your view?
So from a free agent standpoint, I think, you know, you want to sign back like the players we've talked about. But in terms of what we're going to add to the team outside of the roster that we had, I think you're talking about a lot of depth. That is one of the areas where we kind of struggled with. So Nick did a great job of adding depth to our O-line. For your listeners that don't know it, for about the first 5 or 6 weeks, we struggled with the O-line. We actually had only one starter, Shaq Mason, actually starting in this natural position on the O-line for nearly 4 weeks. So Nick did a great job of adding depth with the O-line. But what we found out is we don't have a lot of depth in the secondary. You literally have Derek Stingley being that top tier player, and that was it. And when he got hurt, the secondary really took a hit. Steven Nelson got hurt. Jimmy Ward missed time. Petrie missed time. Literally every single player in the secondary missed time. We did not have our starters for the secondary until about week 7 or week 8, and not having good depth really hurt us. So a lot of the free agency isn't going to be necessarily crazy, flashy players, that brand names, but I think they are names that are going to be important.
He is Vinod Tanungi, ladies and gentlemen. He is the co-host of the All 22 Texans podcast. You can follow him on X at Brown Chubby Bear. And VT, my man, we are now going to do a 7-round Texans mock draft, courtesy of the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator here. So we're going to get this draft started right now. And we are now on the clock at 23. And we have some wide receivers on the board. And this is an underrated option for the Texans in the first round, with Nico Collins coming out of contract. Brian Thomas Jr. has been popularly to the Texans. Troy Franklin of Oregon is another speedy wide receiver. Ladd McConkey of Georgia, if you want that underneath the threat that could get wide open by running slick routes, he could be a choice here. If you want to keep Titus Howard at the guard position and upgrade right tackle, Amarius Mims could be a good candidate, or even Troy Fatanu here. Lots of options here. But Ennis Rakestraw Jr., one of the four corners that you alluded to earlier, is available here. Is he the pick here?
So can I ask, is Byron Murphy, has he already been taken?
The defensive tackle from Texas, Byron Murphy.
Correct.
Yes, he's gone. He's gone.
He's gone because I see Newton's gone. Okay. So if he's gone, then I'm going to go corner at this point, and I'm going to take Ennis.
Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri is the Texans pick in the first round in this mock draft. And we are now back on the clock again at 59. If you want to add to the receiver room, Jalen Polk out of Washington is the best player on the board. If you want to upgrade the running back position, Jonathan Brooks from Texas is still on the board, although he's coming off a torn ACL, I believe. And Caleb Bullock, a safety from USC. Ricky Pearsall, who really shined at the Senior Bowl, is also on the board here. And Jalen McMillan, another wide receiver from Washington, is here as well.
So I want to I need to get a linebacker. And
Junior Colson from Michigan is the best one available.
Yeah, I see Colson there. Can you scroll on? Just let me see who else is available, because I think Colson may be my pick. Yeah, that's probably going to be my pick right there. So out of the available best right there, I'm gonna pick Colson.
And what does Colson bring to the Texans that is currently lacking in their linebacker room?
I mean, right now we need a true Mike. Because right now we've been playing all over on who's Mike. Perriman is going to be gone, so we're not going to be signing him back. So what we need is a true Mike.
And we are now back on the clock again at 85 overall, and we have potential value here to help C.J. Stroud. Malachi Corley, a wide receiver from Western Kentucky, is the best player on the board. But if you want to add to that running back group, Jaylen Wright from Tennessee, who many on draft Twitter love, is available as well.
I think this is a no-brainer. You got to take Malachi Corley here. The Yak God is available. You got to take him.
Yes. And how does he compliment take Dell and Nico Collins?
So, I mean, the whole thing is that he is essentially another Debo. So the way that he compliments him is that you give him the ball, a little check down, and he can take that to 20 yards. And so he's just an incredibly explosive player. And you need that. You know, you go against great corners, you got to be able to check down, and you need your players to make plays. And he's one of the dudes that can do that.
And if Bobby Slowick sees Malachi Corley for the Debo Samuel role in his offense, he is going to be pounding every table, chair, and window at Texans draft headquarters for Nick Casario to turn in the card with Malachi Corley's name on it. And now we're in round four at 124 overall. Cole Bishop, a safety from Utah, is the best player on the board. If you want to add to the edge room, Justin Boybe, I can't pronounce that name correctly, an edge from Alabama is available. Will Shipley, a running back from Clemson, is available. Isaiah Adams, who could play guard or tackle in a swing role, he could get here. But this is where this year's draft gets hard, because I was at the Senior Bowl, and Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl director, said that teams around the NFL have said to him that after the fourth round, their boards are just obliterated due to the lack of underclassmen in this year's draft.
So I have an actually easy pick here, and it's Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott, we just released a video about him today. He's completely underrated. And the reason why is because he is not only a receiving threat as a tight end, but a great blocker. And you need that. In our video, one of the things that Josh, Leo, and Bab, what they all talked about was our line has some issues in terms of run blocking, right? We did not have a real run game. Everything was not just based off of our running backs. It was that our line was not being able to open up the lanes. Ben Sinnott gives you that ability because he immediately helps C.J. Stroud by being another weapon, but he also helps the run game. So he helps both the passing and the run game. I think it's a no-brainer. We take Ben Sinnott.
Absolutely. And in that Bobby Slowick offense, you need a blocking tight end that can function as a sixth offensive lineman. And another pick that Bobby Slowick would absolutely be giddy about. We've gotten him some great toys in this mock draft. And the Texans are back on the clock four picks later at 128 overall, because 124 overall is part of that Deshaun Watson trade that the Texans continue to reap the benefits of. And should we add to the secondary here? Should we add offensive line depth? Should we add to the edge room more? Should we add another wide receiver in Malik Washington? Jordan Reed of ESPN. He is one of my favorite go-to NFL draft analysts and a friend of mine. He said that Malik Washington is his absolute favorite under-the-radar draft prospect in this class.
I love Malik Washington, but I did pick Corley already, and so yeah, I'm going to have to get interior. So if you go down a little bit, you're going to see Mason Smith, and I think that that's going to be my pick. Oh no, he's up a little bit, and right there. Yeah. So he's going to be my interior D lineman, and I think that's a no-brainer right there if he actually drops that far.
Yeah, Mason Smith, the defensive tackle from LSU, our pick at 128, and we're back on the clock at round five with 161. And like I said, this is the part of the draft this year and perhaps in years beyond where players who previously would have undrafted free agent grades will be drafted here. So gets interesting here. What should we do here? Oh, Dylan Lobb, if you want a running back that shied at the Senior Bowl, this guy was one of them.
He's a definite option. I just want to see if there are any other backs there as well.
Dylan Johnson from Washington, although I think he might be coming off an injury. I think he got hurt in the college football playoff.
Yeah. All right. So you got Tyrone Chasey. Okay, we'll go back up, and I think we're going to take Dylan Lube.
Yeah, Dylan Lube from New Hampshire. I take your word for that. That's how you pronounce it, because you're far more in tune to the stuff than I am, VT. And last but not least, we are at 236 overall in round seven. Take your pick here. We can take a project tackle, Aneem Donkwa out of Howard, Keith Randolph Jr., another defensive tackle out of the University of Illinois, Curtis Jacobs, a linebacker from Penn State, if you want to double dip at that position and get two potential long-term answers there, this could be a good value here.
So there's a lot of depth pieces for tight end. We have an issue at tight end. We have Brevin Jordan, and we have Dalton Schultz. And so we obviously just took Ben Sinat. But the issue is that we also have Teagan, who has been hurt basically since we've drafted him. So I'm trying to think out loud here. Should I take a tight end? Should I take a, you know what? I'm going to have to go with the running back here. I know that we're going to have some free agent running backs, but now is the time to just get some more depth there even more. I know I took one, but I really think we got to get a little more depth and have them battle it out, because I don't know who's going to win this. So I'm going to take Rasheen, and I'm going to have them battle it out in camp. It might seem a little weird, but it's a late round pick. It's time to throw it up and see what can you do in camp. And this is what that pick is for.
Absolutely. Just like Dylan Lube from New Hampshire, who we picked in the spot, Rasheen Ali out of Marshall also was a standout at the Senior Bowl. And Nick Cusiero was on the field watching practices there. So wouldn't be surprised if he made such a move. And the Texans actually have multiple picks in the seventh round, my bad. We are back on the clock again with the 245th overall pick. Tanner McLaughlin, the tight end from Arizona, is the best player on the board. Tua Tagovailoa's little brother, Taulia. If you want a project backup, you could sweep here Trey Knox. If you want more tight end depth, the tight end out of South Carolina, Evan Anderson, defensive tackle from Florida Atlantic, Tyler Owens, a safety from Texas Tech. Just go up the road to Lubbock if you want to add more safety depth.
Yeah, I think we're going to get some safety depth here. Tyler Owens, that's the pick for me.
And let's see who we've taken in this seventh-round mock draft. Ennis Rakestraw Jr. in the first round. Michigan linebacker Junior Colson in the second round. Western Kentucky wide receiver Malachi Corley for that Debo Samuel role in Bobby Slowick's offense in the third round. Kansas State tight end Ben Sinat. LSU defensive tackle Mason Smith in the fourth round. New Hampshire running back Dylan Lube in the fifth round. And our seventh round was Rasheen Ali, the running back out of Marshall, and Tyler Owens, a safety from Texas Tech. Overall, PFF said this is a B, but I would be doing cartwheels if the Texans got a haul like this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many winners here. So, I mean, it's pretty hard. I would be ecstatic if we got a haul like that.
I would be ecstatic as well, my man. And once again, he is Vinod Tanungi. Follow him on X at Brown Chubby Bear and check him out at the Texans 22 podcast on YouTube. Thank you once again for joining us, VT. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back next week with my good friend Jeff Barnes as we preview the combine and do a full first round mock draft. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now Threads at SportsCrunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with the K. For Vinod Tanungi, this is David Cromwell saying so long. And whatever you do, please choose love. Please choose kindness. Please choose compassion. Please choose selflessness. And please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.